Welcome along to the latest episode of the Apprenticeship Podcast. Today I'm talking to Olivia and Moyes and Assessor Sulbia, who's going to be talking to us all about their paralegal apprenticeship that they're on. So let's just start by giving them your name and where you work.
So my name's Olivia and I work at Kirkham Legal.
Yeah, I'm Moyes and I work at Penn Faraday.
I'm Sulbia Carnham-Cuddas. I'm tutor and assessor at Oldham College.
Why did you choose an apprenticeship?
I just thought it'd be better for me than uni, because I finished my A-levels and I had two options, university or doing an apprenticeship, and I thought with an apprenticeship I get to learn as well as put that learning into practice. So I learn about the law and then at work I actually use the things that I've learned. So I just thought it'd be better for me to do instead of going to uni.
And have you always had an interest in legal?
For a few years, yeah, I've had an interest in law. Mainly it sort of came from when I went to college and I did law there. And after learning it, I thought, yeah, this is definitely something I'd want to do in the future.
So what kind of qualification have you done law at?
So A-levels.
A-level? Yeah. You didn't get that when I was a lad. And after this qualification, where does that then get you and what will you do next, do you think?
Well, after this, I'd most likely go on to do a solicitor apprenticeship. So that's a 5 or 6 year course. And at the end of it, I'd be a qualified solicitor.
Wow, so you can do apprenticeships all the way through to being qualified?
Yeah.
Without ever having set foot in a university?
Yeah.
And got into £100,000 worth of debt.
Yeah.
Olivia, what was your motivation doing this?
So I've always wanted to do law. It's because obviously it's my mum's business. I've watched her as she's gone through it all. And since I was younger and since I've just always looked up to my mum and wanted to do exactly what she did. And then I diverted a bit before I finished school. I thought, no, I don't. And then I realised I still do want to do it.
So why the apprenticeship route rather than going off to university then?
Well, I'd still be in college. I've only just finished school.
Of course you are, yeah. So you can't go to university anyway.
Yeah,
so
no.
Why are you not going to go to university?
I just don't think it's for me. I've never really thought... I've never wanted to go. It's never been something that I've really looked forward to doing. And I never really enjoyed school, like going to lessons and back. And I really like apprenticeships because the practical side of it. I love that I get to go to work and I also get to learn. It breaks up your week and it's just different. I just don't like sitting down learning. So that's why I didn't choose A-levels. It's just the path that would be best for me and the way I learn.
Who gave you the kind of advice to help you out with that?
My mum helped me a lot, and then also the careers advisor at school. We started having careers meetings in year 10, and then I think I had... You get a set amount, so I think you get two or three, that's what everyone gets, and then you can request more. So I think I had like 4 or 5 meetings, and so I would tell him where I want to go into, what routes, if I wanted to do like a T-level or apprenticeship, because the school I went to was really, they just really went into detail about all the different routes you can get. So we did it in form and assembly, so they tell us all the different ways. You don't have to just go to college and do A-levels, you can do all these different routes. So we all kind of already knew there was all these routes. So it was kind of, we'd sit down, we'd tell him what you wanted to get into, what route, how you wanted to do it, kind of where you live, so what area would be best for you to go to college in, and then he would kind of go away, find that information for us. And also help us to find the information, and then say we'd have another meeting and he'd come back with all these different options, and then he'd kind of lay them on the table and he'd be like, look, so you've got this apprenticeship at Oldham College, you've got this one at Tameside, you know, and then it kind of helps you, because I found that in school I never really knew exactly what I wanted to do. So it was nice to get the support of, you've got all these different options. It's now, you know, you've got all these, but it's up to you what you want to do. And I found it is good to talk to experts and people who are already in that career. Obviously, it was a bit easier for me because it's my mum. So I had a lot of talks with my mum about it, and she'd tell me the bad and the good, and she'd give me the advice, and she was there to support me, and she helped me kind of every step of the way, and she still helps me and supports me now at work and at home and everything. And so I would definitely talk to somebody in the industry that you want to get into. It might be harder to get in touch with somebody if you don't know them personally, but there's always a connection somewhere.
Had you done any work experience and stuff?
I started working at a hotel when I was 13, just like picking up a couple of shifts, helping out. So it was setting up weddings and serving and waitressing and all of that kind of stuff.
At 13?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
well done you.
I've been working for a while.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And that was actually originally the thing that I wanted to get into. That's when I had like my blip of not wanting to do law. And I thought I wanted to set up weddings for the rest of my life. I didn't. It was just something that I thought I did
nice.
Want to
you
do.
Enjoyed
yeah.
it. Yeah.
And then I came back to this. So yeah, I did that for 3 years. I stopped doing that when I left school because I started working at the firm full time before I started the apprenticeship, paralegal apprenticeship. But I also did do some of the half terms when my mum needed help and she needed a bit of cover on like reception, just answering calls or doing people's shredding, like really basic things. I'd go in on like my half terms and I'd do that when I was in school as well. So I've kind of just been around working for a while.
And Moise, did you get any prior experience of working? What have you done?
Yeah, so I had a friend who, she's a solicitor, so I actually asked her if I would be able to do work experience with her, and so I spent 1 week just shadowing her around at her law firm and seeing what she was doing, and I also just spoke to her a lot as well and learned more about what being in the legal field is like, and that definitely helped me realise that it is something that I want to do.
You both got the experience just through, you know, volunteering in effect, really, work experience and stuff. So, and your career, was a career teacher any use to you at school?
Yeah, he was a very good teacher. It was just sort of a drop in whenever you need to, and you can speak to him, and he'll usually advise you on what you can do. And just a lot of times, he'd say things like, "Yeah, you know, I know you. I've seen you for 5 years. I think that would actually be something you'd be a very good fit for." So, yeah, he was very useful.
Having practical work experience makes all the difference. So, you know, I've got learners who maybe at weekends they used to help out in offices and stuff. Getting that sort of experience and exposure, again, just shows you, is it something that you'd enjoy doing and you want to do? And then we're also very lucky because sometimes we get apprentices that maybe have done the business administration apprenticeship first and then they move on to the paralegal apprenticeship. So again, you know, if you're 16 years old and you're not quite sure what you want to do, there are so many different apprenticeships out there, and if you do want to work in an office environment but you're not quite sure whether it's legal or not that you're interested in, doing the business admin apprenticeship, for example, to start off with, that could be a year to a 13-month program, and then once you're successful on that, you can then move on. And I've had apprentices that have moved on from the business admin to the paralegal apprenticeship, and then that's just given them that confidence and that boost to be ready for the sort of the level 3 paralegal one. So there are progression routes from, you know, a level 2 apprenticeship or a different level 3 apprenticeship to move on to paralegal, and then obviously the progression routes thereafter as well.
Brilliant. So you can do as many apprenticeships as you like, providing you're not doing them all at the same time. You can do one at a time in different subjects, providing you've got the role that matches with that, haven't you?
For someone who's never worked before, doing that 9 to 5, it just shows them, is this really for them? Is it something that they want to do? And once they are and they're in that role and they're happy and then progressing, it's just an easy next step.
I think it can be a shock though, going from, it's like for me, I'm only 16, so going from school straight into a 9 to 5 and then one day at college, it is a big jump. And I Sylvia made me very aware of that. She was like, look, it's going to be hard,
difficult,
you're really gonna you might struggle at times, but you've really got to like have a strong mindset that this is what you want to do, otherwise you won't succeed, basically, because obviously she put it nicely than that but because it is a big jump, so it can be stressful. And it was hard at first because I was so used to going to school and going home, and it's like instead now I'm doing a 9 to 5 and then I go home and it's like pick up my textbook for an hour, I've got some reading to do, things like that. But if you want to do it, you put in the effort, and if you don't want to do it, I wouldn't go into it.
Yeah, if you feel like you're being pushed into it, then it's not going
to
work for you, is it?
You have to decide for yourself. It has to be something that you want to do. You can't be forced into it, otherwise it won't go well, you won't do your work, you won't learn. Because as much as Sylvia supports us, it is also independent. If I don't want to do my reading and I don't want to progress forward, then Sylvia can't force me.
You can lead the horse to water.
Yeah.
Yes, as they say, but you can't make it drink.
Yeah. So it has to be, you have to be willing.
Sylvia, what's your top tips for anyone thinking of becoming an apprentice?
I think the main thing is to make the decision at the beginning consciously. So deciding that that's the route for you. And once you know that that's the route for you, you get into the routine, you manage your studies together with your work role. And it's just being able to have confidence in your ability that you're not going to know it all at the beginning, but you'll get there. You will learn as you go. And every week is a learning week and every day is a learning day at work. And then just ask and get the support that you need. So as an assessor, my background is I used to work as a commercial litigator. So I was in practice for 10 years as a solicitor. So when my apprentices come in to college, one of the things I like to do is just say, how's it been? How's your work week gone? And sometimes they just need to vent. They just need to talk about the things that have happened. And then it's out there and then you move on, because it is a stressful career. And every day isn't the same. So you can go into work and you can have a really smooth and it's easy, or you can have a very difficult, tumultuous time. And you just need to talk about that. So as an assessor, I'm just really glad that I can be empathetic, because I've kind of been there to see it. But everyone, you know, when they can talk about it and just being able to express what's happened, that's what gets you through the difficult times. And then you get to the other end of it and then, you know, you move on to the next client or the next matter. So it's just having that awareness that it's not going to be all smooth sailing. There are going to be ups and downs, but as an assessor and a tutor, I'm here to support my learners, support the apprentices to get there. And I think as a college as well, we you know, we have a welfare team, we have a careers team to offer help and guidance. So all of those things are in place, and I just encourage apprentices to, you know, access all those things that they need. But overall, it's so worthwhile. You know, my career as a solicitor, I was 10 years in practice, and now I've been a tutor and an assessor at the college for 13 years. So I feel, you know, really blessed to have both those careers. But to sort of nurture someone who's at the beginning of a career in the legal profession, it's just, you know, it's great to have that opportunity. And for the right sort of person, it's the perfect career, because, you know, it's just the starting point in terms of starting the apprenticeship.
And it is so difficult, isn't it, to keep going sometimes, because, you know, I've got an 11-year-old. If he doesn't succeed at the first slightest attempt, he gives up. And it's difficult, isn't it? And it must be tempting to go, oh, it's not for me. Yeah, so to keep going.
It can be hard. And I sometimes do struggle, like in college, with the topics and stuff. For example, like Moyes, like you said, he's done A-levels at college and he did study law. I've got no background in it. So sometimes I do struggle with things. But Sylvie is really helpful and she makes me... She makes me understand it, and then if there is something that I struggle with, me and Sylvie will go over it. And I just think, even though it is hard, it's also really rewarding, because I go away knowing, like, that now I know this, and yeah, it's just really rewarding afterwards.
I think of it like light bulb moments, you know. So sometimes we're talking about a concept, so we talked about, you know, data protection, or we talked about human rights, or we talked about something about, you know, conflicts of interest, and those can be difficult topics, but then it's just relating it to client situations. Yeah. And one thing I love is when we have cohorts of apprentices in the room, they speak to each other and they share their experiences and their knowledge. And, you know, I've heard the both of you saying, so how do you do that in your firm? And you're sharing that knowledge and that experience and that expertise, and that's how everyone grows. You know, you sort of learn from each other and you look at how other people are doing it as well. And then also, you know, talking about those difficult times and then being able to say, oh, this happened, and then just being able to share with each other, you know, the experiences that they're going through. And that's the supportive environment as well, where apprentices support each other. And, you know, it again, for me, just to sort of witness that and observe that happening in the classroom and stuff, it's fantastic, because as well as me being a support network, they support each other as well. So that, I just think that's really valuable as well.
And here at the college, are you in college every week for the whole of your apprenticeship, or is it kind of front loaded?
So we come in once a week, all the way through our apprenticeship. So our days are Thursday.
We come in the morning at about 9:30 and work until 11:30 and get a few hours done there. So that's usually reading. If there's any evidence for our portfolios, we show that to Sylvia and get her opinions on it. Then we have like an hour lunch break, and then after that we have 3 hours where we will just go through the chapters that we've been reading for that week. So for example, this week it's supposed to be on judicial review, so we'll look at what judicial review is. We might do a quiz and just sort of, you know, talk and
talk through anything that we found difficult during that chapter.
How has Oldham College supported you in?
Yeah, really well. Sylvia's done amazing.
You don't have to say it because she's just in the room next.
No,
to
she
it.
Is. She is really good. She's yeah. She's probably one of, she is probably the best teacher I've ever had. I would say that.
And Moyes, tell me a bit more about your decision to come to Oldham. Why was this? Because I imagine you can do apprenticeships at many different places. Why Oldham College?
I picked Oldham College purely just because of the facilities they had. So when I was looking at getting an apprenticeship, I looked at a lot of different places, and I knew I didn't want to first go straight onto a solicitor one. I wanted to first ease myself into it. So I thought I'll do a paralegal apprenticeship. And when I was looking at paralegal apprenticeships, I heard about Oldham College, and just from looking on the website and seeing all the things they offer, I thought that is definitely a college that would do their best to try and help me and make sure that I do my best. So I just thought Oldham College would be where I should go.
So aside from your apprenticeship, what else do you get from Oldham College?
Well, so you see, you get a lot of support during your apprenticeship, but also just your teachers, they're very helpful. I know, like, so last week we actually went to court as part of, you know, a college day, just to learn about what court is like, because, you know, in the future some of us might be going to court.
Tell me what a paralegal is.
It's like a legal secretary.
Okay.
So in my line, where I'm going into, it'd be like an assistant to a fee earner. That's kind of what the title paralegal would be.
So you do all their running around, making sure all their paperwork's in order and making notes for them and typing it all up and things like that?
Yeah.
What other elements of the apprenticeship are there that you have to cover for that?
Throughout the apprenticeship, it's about progressing and getting... towards the end, you want to be kind of looking to going into a fee earning role after that. So it's kind of just building your steps up all the way through the course, developing your skills, developing what you can do within your firm so that you have covered everything before you finish the course.
What kind of touch points is that you've got to meet on it? Sylvia, you can talk to us for a second.
So during the course of the apprenticeship, you're going to develop knowledge, skills and behaviour, which relate to the standard that they're working towards.
Yeah.
And that's to get them ready for their endpoint assessments. So the endpoint assessments on the paralegal, you've got a combination. You've got a professional discussion that they'll complete, and that's based on a portfolio of evidence that they're putting together. So both Olivia and Moise are already, you know, collating evidence from their work roles, which demonstrates that range of sort of knowledge, skills and behaviours that they're working on. And it can, you know, be reports that they've drafted, emails that they've done, all the work practice products that they have. So they'll produce those documents and then in a professional discussion talk about the skills that they've developed as a result. And then the other side of it is a project that they're going to have to do. So the project is something that they'll agree with their employer that's meaningful and that's going to contribute to the business as well. And that project is something that they're going to actually carry out, then produce a report for it, and then actually present that to the endpoint assessor to actually reflect on that project and reflect on how it went.
Right.
So it's all encompassing, and it's just them building up the skills through the knowledge units that they'll study with me in college to get them ready for those endpoints.
And Moyes, you said you went to court. What was that like? Was that your first time in a courtroom?
So that was my second time going
okay.
to court, and we went to the magistrates' court and the county court, and we just sort of sat in the public gallery and watched the judge and what exactly they were doing. So there were lots of different cases. There was a sentencing going on when we went in, so we just sat there and heard the defence barristers and the prosecution barristers argue their points to try and get a reduced sentence or an increased sentence. So it was actually quite useful to know about what would happen in court.
And was it interesting? Did it make you want to do it more? Do you think, ooh.
Yeah, no, it was definitely interesting. It's definitely something that I would love to do in the future.
And the place that you work at the minute, does that specialise in a particular area of law, which therefore you're going to specialise in, or is it quite general?
So it does specialise in a few areas of law, so personal injury, housing disrepair, and sort of immigration are the main, and also a bit of family as well, which I should hopefully start on soon.
Okay. And what area is it that interests you most?
I'd say definitely family is one that interests me from what I've seen. It seems like it could be something I would go into in the future.
Brilliant stuff. Cool. Sylvia.
And that's a brilliant advantage of the new paralegal standard. So in the past, learners had to select one specific pathway. So they had to say, oh, I'm going to be a family specialist. And then that's what they'd study and they'd focus on that. Now, under the new standard, an apprentice can be working in different areas, just like Moises described. So he can be doing a little bit of family law, a little bit of immigration, housing disrepair. And then the assessment is all-encompassing. It's holistic. So they'll look at whatever areas they're working on. The product evidence can come from all those different areas. So it's just much more flexible. And it just means, you know, someone isn't tied down to one area, because especially when you're at the beginning of an apprenticeship, you want to test things out and just see what feels right for you and then decide where you might want to specialise. Having said that, Olivia's in a situation where you're in a conveyancing practice, and she kind of knows already that's what she wants to do.
Okay.
So if, you know, you are set on an area that really interests you, that's what you will pursue. You'll study that in more detail. So she'll do a knowledge unit with myself in college to develop the sort of the academic knowledge that she needs. And then we'll be doing all of that in practice to develop the practical skills, you know, filling out the forms, doing the submissions to the land registry, doing all those actions to help her be ready as a practitioner.
Brilliant stuff. And avoiding phone calls from irate people buying houses.
You can't,
can you? I used to phone mine daily, I think, at one point.
Yeah.
It takes a while, doesn't it, for stuff to happen?
Yeah, the process is a long process, but it's one of them that when something happens, you've got to wait. It's not something that changes daily. Like, you could be stuck on the same thing for a week at a time.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of patience, definitely, and clients need to have patience too, but you can't tell them that.
No, well, I bet you wish you could, but you are on the phone, aren't you? Going out there. Yeah, because it's the most stressful thing in the world, isn't it, buying a house?
Yeah.
Particularly as you're coming towards exchange and completion, yeah. And everyone's suddenly like that.
It's definitely really stressful for clients, and I think that's something that, as someone, like for myself, I'm training, that's something that I definitely take into account now and will carry on acknowledging that it's really stressful for people. And so we've got to kind of be there for them and support them. And if they want that extra bit of reassurance with another phone call, you know, you've got to give them that, because they don't know the process like I know the process, and I will know the process. So I've just, you know, got to be aware of that at all times.
You're only a few months in, but what's been the highlight of your apprenticeship so far?
Like, I've enjoyed the whole part of what we've done so far. I haven't enjoyed something more than the other.
So this one case we had, the third party was being like really difficult in admitting that it was their client's fault. So I sent over this email that was just like a really long, boring email, and like about 2 days later, this insurance company that very rarely responded that quickly got back to me straight away, and it was just like, yeah, that was because of my email.
Brilliant.
So that actually made me feel pretty
good.
That's
really good, isn't it? Yeah, excellent stuff. I know, just it's going through my head, the AI is everywhere, you know, it's all around. Is AI impacting your work at the minute? Are you able to introduce it at all? Or, you know, how, have you any idea how it's going to change your jobs?
Not that I know of. I don't think it's something that we're using, and I don't think it's something that will be used at our firm.
Not for the foreseeable.
Yeah, not anytime soon anyway.
Okay. Moyes, any impact on your role yet?
I think same goes for us. We've not been using AI, and I don't know if we will. And even if we do, I don't think it will be for a good while, really.
If you're listening to this and you're not yet an apprentice, what advice would you give to anyone who's thinking about starting off on the road towards getting an apprenticeship?
I would tell them to do it. I think if you know that there's something that you really want to do, I think an apprenticeship is a great way of doing it. I think it's you get all your practical, you get your learning, and I personally really like that. I get to come into college and learn, but then I also get to go throughout my week and just do it all in practical work, and I just think it's a great way of doing it. I wouldn't ever go back to like lessons full time now. Yeah. I do apprenticeships all the way through if I need to do anything now.
Yeah. Well, is there anything to add to that?
I'd say just sort of be prepared, because it will be a bit difficult getting into it at first.
Okay.
But once you get into it, it will be something you really enjoy. It's like when I first started, for the first month I was a bit nervous because everyone around me was so much older, you know, they'd gone to uni, some of them, and they had degrees, and they were just so much more experienced. But now at work, I just feel so comfortable around everyone. So it takes a bit of time to get used to. But once you get used to it, it goes really well.
And I think that it's imposter syndrome, isn't it? And I think that happens to everybody. You know, you're always, every new job you're going to get that, I think, as well. So don't worry about it. It's just about you being new for apprenticeships, I think. Doesn't it happen everywhere?
Absolutely. And do you feel differently now to when you started, both of you? Do you feel more confident in what you're doing?
Yeah, definitely.
Because having done the studies, one of the units we talked about is client care. We learned about, you know, the sort of the soft skills when you're dealing with clients, managing expectations, being organized, all of those aspects. And I've noticed it in the conversations that we're having, sort of, you know, in the sessions. I feel like you're more capable and more confident now than you were at the beginning. And that's only going to grow over time, you know, over the course of the apprenticeship. And that, as a, you know, an assessor, I get to witness that happening, and you kind of see these young people blossoming into their roles and actually, you know, where they end up with the knowledge and the skills and the things that they're capable of doing. They're you know, full-time fee earners by the end of it. They have their own caseload. They have their own matters.
Is there any other advice you'd give to anybody applying before they do?
One thing I would say is it's not the easy option. So I did, when I did my studies, I went traditional route. So I did A-levels and then I went to university. I got my degree, very luckily got my training contract and worked at a big commercial firm. But for me, I feel that is the easier option because you're just doing one thing at a time. So I was just studying, doing my degree at a time. Whereas, you know, my paralegal apprentices, they're doing both. They're doing a full-time role as well as study at level 3, which is, you know, the equivalent of 3 A-levels. Mm-hmm. So someone to choose an apprenticeship, a paralegal apprenticeship, it's got to be a conscious decision and you've got to be willing to put the work in. And I say this, you know, when I go to the sign up and say, you have to be ready to accept that, you know, you're going to give up a little bit of your social life and you're going to give up some of the things that, you know, a typical 16, 17, 18 year old would be doing. But it's a testament to, you know, Moise and Olivia that, you know, they're raising to that challenge and this is what they want to do because it's a career that they're building. So they're making the first step towards a career and they're willing to sort of do that sacrifice because it's worth it in the long term. But you've got to have that mindset. You've got to have that mindset of you've got to work hard, you've got to put the hours in, you're doing a full-time job as well as study. So that, just that recognition from the outset and being able to accept that is really important. And then it just happens naturally, you know, you adapt to that routine and it becomes a part of who you are and what you do. But I just think it is a harder option, but for the right person, it's perfectly, you know, the thing that's perfect for them.
Brilliant stuff. And of course there is the off the job tracker, isn't there? This 20%, and no one really ever understands it. And how are you two currently fitting that in and around your work and creating that log for it?
I note down what I've done each week, so if I have done any off the job, then I do note it all down, and then I log it all on a Thursday when I'm in college. That's just how I like to do
it. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I do something similar. So throughout the week, if at work, I do anything that can go on my off the job. So for example, shadowing a colleague or sitting in a meeting, I'll usually make notes of that. And then sometime when I have time, so it might be a Thursday or it might be maybe over the weekend, I'll just add it on to my off the job and say, on Monday, I sat in a client meeting. So I just sort of build it all up and then add it on.
So it's just a constant process of thinking about it and being aware that it exists, really, isn't it? Rather than sitting at the end going, oh, well, what did I do? Yeah. I haven't done it.
Yeah. Do you want to mention the app? Because you guys have given us feedback that you're really happy with the app that you use.
Yeah, so initially it was off the job. You used to track it on a spreadsheet, but Oldham College now introduced an app. So you just go on that on your phone and you can log in the hours.
Brilliant.
So right after you've done it, it's not like you have to be sat at an actual desk. So sometimes maybe on the way home from work, I might just pull my phone out and log my off the job.
Final things before I let you go today. Is there any final statements or comments you wish to make about your apprenticeship or Oldham College or anything like that? Or Sulby, I know she's sat there.
Yeah, I just say that, you know, since I've started my apprenticeship with Oldham College, everyone has been incredibly helpful. It's, you know, especially Sulby, she's always checking in on me. Every Thursday when I get in, she'll usually, the first thing she'll say is, how has work been? You know, is there anything all right? Anything stressing you out? Usually talk to her about it. And I just know that if anything does happen at work and I need to talk to someone about it, I can just go to Sylvia. So, yeah, everyone's been very helpful, but definitely Sylvia.
What is the plan after the end of this apprenticeship?
I want to do another apprenticeship with the CLC to become, it goes to a legal technician and then a licensed conveyancer. And then I want to do another apprenticeship with Silex and become a chartered legal executive.
And what kind of levels are these at? Because you're level 3 at the minute, which is A levels.
I think the CLC one is level 4 and 6, and then the Silex one is level 7.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
So that's all the way through the degree levels there you've got. To stay in conveyancing and remain as a conveyancer, that's your
dream? Yeah, that's
excellent stuff. And Moyes, what's your dream?
So long term, I'd want to go on to be a solicitor, working at a big, you know, commercial firm, hopefully in sort of corporate law.
Why corporate?
It's another thing that seems really interesting to me. Like, whilst I was at college, we looked at certain cases that involved, you know, big like companies, and looked at a bit of corporate law, and it just seemed really interesting. So it's definitely something I would like to go into, even if it's just for maybe a year or two.
Well, that's about all we have time for today. Thank you to Olivia, Moyes and Sylvia for coming along and telling me all about their paralegal level 3 apprenticeship. I wish them every success in their future careers. If you want to find out more about apprenticeships we offer here at Oldham College, go to our website at oldham.ac.uk and you'll find details of all the courses and apprenticeships that we offer. I'll be back with a new podcast soon.